Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Stand podcast. I'm Mark Goldbridge. Let's get into it. We're going to be talking about coronavirus, the transfer budget, Manchester United seasons ahead, and of course, all of your questions. Remember to leave us a review. You can win a prize. Somebody won it last week. We're waiting for the person who's going to win it this week to reply to us. If not, it's a rollover week, so there'll be two of you winning it. All you've got to do is leave us a review on iTunes or whatever podcast platform you're on that allows you to leave a review. Make sure you leave your Instagram or your Twitter at name, and we will message you if you've won. So let's fly into it. We've got your questions to go through as well, which you can leave on YouTube community page if you're a member. But let's get into football. Very big. Look, the coronavirus thing is big. It really is big. And I've spoken to a lot of people over the last week about contingency plans for football and what it means for football. And in its worst sense, and Jurgen Klopp's right, we are just football people and we have an opinion, but there are specialists in this area who will dictate what's going to happen. And the reality is that by the looks of it from a UK perspective, because that's where I live, it's about containment, it's about not overloading the National Health Service, and if you just let it run free, it could overwhelm whatever country it's in. So you've got to try and contain it and put that work in and spread it out. And to do that, you may have to stop big events, therefore football games, 60,000-70,000 people at a game is not going to be a good idea when you're trying to contain something. And those people being sat in close proximity for 90 minutes or longer, or in pubs and things like that, it's going to have a devastating effect on not just sport, but cinemas, etc., etc. But ultimately, this is a virus that can kill people, so you've got to take it very, very seriously. What will it mean to football? Well, look, if we don't have football, what do we have? Hopefully, we'll still have the United Stand. There's lots of things we can do around this on the podcast, etc. But it is an issue, and especially as we approach the Euros, the Europa League, the Champions League, the final run-in, the top four race from a Manchester United point of view, I think it's a discussion to be had, but we will be guided by the experts on this. Ideally, if it comes to a point where they're going to cancel football matches, which I personally think they will, I don't know what people think, but I think that they will, because I think once, it's all right in the UK when you've got like 50 cases, but when it becomes 1,000 cases, that can become 10,000 very, very quickly, and they will be looking to stop games, and I think that that will happen. What I would like to see is the minimum amount of people dying from this, the minimum amount of people suffering from this, and if it means football gets cancelled, it gets cancelled, because human life is more important than anything. In a best case scenario, it doesn't come to that and we do get to complete the season and we do get to see the Euros, because we all want to see that. And also what I would like to see is maybe games behind closed doors. But as I've said before, the problem with that is that, all right, games behind closed doors, we still get to watch Manchester United play. But it's very difficult watching a game of football with an empty stadium. It isn't quite the same. So that, from an enjoyment perspective, is somewhat secondary in some ways. But also, what about if a player gets it? What if, like, I don't want to name a player because then you're making it too personal, but what if a Manchester United player gets it and then they can't play for a month, but you keep playing behind closed doors? It's like, I can see a scenario where they cancel football till next season, but and then that creates a whole load of issues as to what you do with Champions League next year, what you do with relegation next year, what you do with Liverpool, who are going to win the title, but should they win the title? It's unprecedented, but that's what we're dealing with. And I think we need to have grown-up, mature mindsets around it and be guided by the experts. So let's wait and see what happens with that. Hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully we can contain it. But it's not just about containing it in the UK, which is very difficult. It's also about about Europe, isn't it? And the Champions League and the Europa League, which for Manchester United is a part of our season. So look, it's definitely there in the background. I think people who are ignoring it are naive. I think having the discussion was good, and a lot of people asked us to do that. We're going to have to wait and see, but be open-minded to what the consequences could be. And ultimately, it's the preservation of life, isn't it? I've got friends and family who are in the risk areas and in relation to age and underlying health conditions, and we all will. And ultimately, do you want them to survive, or do you want to get a football season completed? It becomes a very easy choice. We want them to survive. But let's talk on the football, because that's what we're here to do, and that's what we'll be doing anyway, regardless of what happens, because this is what we love. So Transfers, that will, regardless of whether football continues, transfer window will go ahead. You don't need, you can do that via email, Ed. And Manchester United and the Grealish rumours are back again. This seems to be a story that just won't go away. Aston Villa losing at the weekend. Jack Grealish, sources around him suggesting he wants to go in the summer. I think that's a dead cert. I live in the Midlands area. I know people who support Villa, I know people who are close to Villa, and I know people who are saying that he's definitely going to go in the summer, regardless of whether they stay up. There's talk of Man City being in the race, there's talk of teams like Liverpool and Chelsea fancying him, and I wouldn't be surprised. He's had a very, very good season, but Manchester United and Jack Grealish, I think, work well. Grealish has already hinted at it in relation to it being his favourite ground to play. And I can see Jack Grealish in a Manchester United shirt. But as I said on the YouTube video last night, and I don't like repeating YouTube stuff on here or here onto YouTube, but as I was told about Paul Pogba, Manchester United haven't given up on Paul Pogba staying at Manchester United if they can convince him. Now, interestingly enough, I think if football did get cancelled till August in the very immediate future, I think you would see Paul Pogba go in the summer because there's no incentive for him to stay. However, if Pogba gets back playing for United, United do well, Pogba might sign the new contract. Do you then need Jack Grealish when your priority is Jadon Sancho? So Pogba's future will dictate the situation with Jack Grealish. But what's encouraging about Manchester United is that they're trying to get deals on paper done, ready to go in the summer. And I think with Jack Grealish, this is the scenario. United want Grealish. If Pogba stays, they probably won't get him, but they think that Pogba might push for a move, therefore we want Grealish. And I think Grealish in those circumstances is happy to wait and have a deal in principle in place. So that's the feeling around United, Villa and Grealish representatives at the moment, and we'll see how that goes with that. I did see a story, I think it was either the Telegraph or the Mail or something like that, talking about Harry Kane wanting to leave Spurs in the summer. Harry Kane at Manchester United would be fantastic. I think I love Anthony Martial, Rashford. I think that Dan James can be a useful player. But if you brought Harry Kane into Manchester United, you guarantee Harry Kane, whatever people think about Harry Kane, I'm Harry Kane. Harry Kane, whatever you think about Harry Kane. I do the Harry Bane thing because it's like Bane from Harry Kane's got a funny voice, hasn't he? And I haven't. You have got a funny voice, Harry. And so's Bane from Batman. So we call him Harry Bane, I'm Harry Bane, Batman. But enough of that. Harry Kane at Manchester United would be superb. It'd be superb. I tell you what, Flex, let's sign Harry Kane to play with Matic. What a spine of a team that would be. Harry Maguire, Matic, Mata, Harry Kane. Two Harrys, two Mats. Brilliant. Absolutely superb, Flex. But Harry Kane... I like Harry Kane. He gets a lot of stick, but if you actually watch him, he can finish off both feet. He's very good in the air. He's very good at holding the ball up. He's technically better than people think. He can run the channels. And I think at Manchester United, he would be fantastic. He scores a lot of goals in a team that I don't really like the way Spurs played under Pochettino, and I definitely don't like the way they play under Jose. It's quite methodical. And I think in a freer team, Harry Kane would score a lot more goals, and he scores a lot of goals. Love him to come to United. Very difficult deal to do for many reasons. One, I'm not sure Harry Kane really would leave Spurs. Two, Spurs very difficult to do deals with. Three, not sure Harry Kane would come to Manchester United. More likely Real Madrid. So watch the space on that one. But let's get into some of your questions. Remember, if you want to leave a question to be read out, you've got to be a member on the United Stand YouTube page. Very easily to do. Join. You get your little badge next to your name. Go to the community page. You'll see the weekly post. Only members can see it in relation to leaving your questions. So Joshua Rondell says, with the recent signing of Bruno and the possibility of adding Sancho and Grealish in the summer, assuming Pogba does get sold, do you see Ollie going back to the 4-3-3 next season like he did during the first 3 months? We've seen the implementation of this diamond midfield. I'm recording this before the Derby game. I expect he'll play the diamond again. Why would you bring the diamond in for one game against Everton then not use it? I think this is about implementing a system that utilises midfielders, because at the moment we've got Fred, McTominay, Matic, Bruno and Pogba, Mata as well. So he wants to, you know, exploit a system that allows him to play as many of his good players in the midfield as possible. I don't like it. I don't think it's very long term. I think if Pogba did leave in the summer, we should be going back to a 4-3-3 in whatever guise that is. Yeah, you could have two holding midfielders, you could have one, but you need to have a front three because Rashford plays better off the left, Martial does better down the middle, and Jadon Sancho would do better off the right. So in that scenario, I would expect a change. I hope this is a short-term thing just to get Pogba in the team. Ilkan Asan says, are there any similarities of football between our manager tactics between Oli 2020 and the 1990 treble winning side? No, there isn't. And I do want to just cover that. This is something I've wanted to do, and I'm going to do it exclusively on here. Combined Liverpool current team with the treble team. I'm just going to quickly run through that in a moment. But tactically, there are not very many similarities between United and 99. There are not many similarities between United 99 and any other United side because United played a 4-4-2. Beckham on the right, Giggs on the left, Keane and Scholes in the middle, Cole and York up front. Different time. 4-4-2 doesn't really work in the modern day. So very different formation. Tactically, very, very different as well. United were not a side that sat back and hit teams on the break. They could do that, but that's not how we played. We were very much on the front foot with the quality that we had in the team. So no similarities. Combined United-Liverpool side, Schmeichel's better than Alisson, Gary Neville's better than Trent Alexander-Arnold, Dennis Irwin's better than Robertson, Van Dijk's better than Johnson, Stam's better than anything else they've got. So there's one Liverpool player in the back five. Into the midfield, Liverpool have got nothing in their midfield that gets ahead of Keane and Scholes, so they're straight in. It's all about formation, really. I would play a 4-2-3-1 because that's what United are doing at the moment. Keane and Scholes in the two. The head of the midfield could easily be let's have a look what have Liverpool got. It's difficult because you've got to play Giggs and you've got to find a place for Beckham. I'm happy to put Mane and Salah in the team, but I just don't know how we're going to build this team. So I would probably put Beckham in front of Keane and Scholes, and then your front three could be Giggs, Mane and Salah, and just leave Firmino and York and Cole out, but you've got to get your best players in. Joskin Alexander says, should we sign another central defender? Because with Bay very often injured and Lindelof not quick enough, I think the defence is very vulnerable against teams using fast strikers. Would you sign a centre-back, though? I get where Joskin's coming from, and I see the links to Koulibaly, and apparently Solskjaer rates Koulibaly as one of the best centre-backs in the world, as do I. But I just feel that last summer was the opportunity to get our centre-back and we went down the road of Harry Maguire. To go and spend another £80 million on another centre-back just doesn't seem like it's part of United's budget plan. I think another centre... You can always say, well, look, Wan-Bissaka's our right-back. There's a world-class right-back, better than him. I would never change Wan-Bissaka, by the way. But you can look at any position and go, well, I'd rather have Aguero than Martial. I'd rather have De Bruyne than Bruno. I wouldn't actually, but there's always a better player. I think with United, there are areas that are far more prioritised, and that is midfield, right wing, attack. And that we probably won't even fill those positions in the summer. So going looking for a centre-back when we need more priority positions filled, I can't see us going for a centre-back in the summer. I'm not saying that another centre-back wouldn't make us better, for the reasons you've said there. Lindelof's not quick enough. Bailly is injury-prone. But I'm hoping someone like Tuansebe will come in and stay fit and build out. I think this season was the season where Oli would have played Tuansebe. I think Tuansebe was very close around October time to picking that spot up with Harry Maguire. And we would have seen a very different centre-back pairing. But then he got injured. He's been out for a long time. I think that I've got to say on the Tuansebe thing, the conspiracies, I don't really do conspiracy theories. I don't know why I did that, but I don't really do conspiracy theories. But the Tuansebe injury has always been injured because we've just not really had much of an update about it, and it's turned into a very long injury. I mean, if you think about it, Pogba and McTominay have come back and been out injured for a long time again in the whole time that Tuansebe has been injured. I think he's been injured longer than anybody this season, and we've never really had any updates on it. Jay says, how much do you think we will spend this summer if Pogba stays? 100 million, Jay. We will spend on Jadon Sancho if Pogba stays. Because Pogba's only going to stay if we get Champions League football. Sancho's probably only going to come if we get Champions League football. Sancho will cost about 100 million. So I think Sancho would be the only signing. Which, to be honest, if you keep Pogba, would you be too fussed about that? I think we will let other players go, by the way. I think we'll get a little bit of money in maybe for Lingard. So the net spend will come down to around 70 million again. But yeah, I think it would just be one signing. And of course, remember we signed Bruno in January, which I do think was part of that budget. Does Goldie get much abuse, says Sean Macca? Not really a question for the podcast, but I think anybody in doing this is going to get some twats out there, isn't it? Mark Birick says, Rashford recently said about aiming for league titles and Champions League trophies. Do you see him looking for a move if we continue as we are? Look, you never say never with Manchester United. We're in an uncharted territory that we weren't in for 20 plus years with Sir Alex Ferguson. And we, as Manchester United fans, were quite arrogant. Well, no, they're never going to leave us. Because he's homegrown and because he's come through the youth system, there's more of a chance that he will stay at the club. But never say never with Rashford. There's been those rumours that he's linked to Mino Raiola now. Now, I don't think that will happen, but Marcus Rashford could look out for Marcus Rashford. And if in 3 years' time we're still fighting for fourth spot, he might think, I've got one career, I love it here, but I actually want to win things. So I think at the moment, Rashford's immediate future at Manchester United is safe, but United do need to provide a platform for him to succeed. Do you think if we signed Jadon Sancho, he'd succeed at United, says Callan Armstrong. And he also says, I'm really enjoying the podcast. I hope you all are enjoying the podcast. Remember to leave us a review on iTunes. Leave your Twitter or Instagram username and we'll message the winner by reading the reviews. Thanks everyone who is enjoying it, by the way. And Gooberface says they're loving it as well. I think Jadon Sancho will succeed wherever he goes. I think if he went to Rochdale, he'd succeed. I think he'd go to Liverpool, Chelsea, United, he will succeed. He's a very, very driven player and a very impressive player, not only in relation to his talent, but also what he's done with his career. Now, whether that's him or whether that's the people around him, he was at Manchester City as a youth player and he decided to get out and go and get first team football. And he went to Germany to do that. And what a path it's been. Look at Foden. Foden stayed at Man City, gets little bits of games here and there, but he's not playing as much as he might be if he was elsewhere. And that's the challenge for a lot of players. So Jadon Sancho will be successful. He's a top talent and he's got good mentality around him. Who would you like to see as United's manager if we sack Ollie, says Ryan Corbin. I can't not answer it because it's on the podcast. Who would I like to see as Manchester United's manager if we sack Ollie? I tell you what, it's a difficult one because I'm not really necessarily on the Pochettino train. I really do like Pochettino. I think people think I'm not on the Pochettino train because I don't like him. I like Pochettino. I watched a lot of Spurs under Pochettino and God, were they more watchable than they are under Mourinho. They're boring. It's like watching United under Mourinho. So I do like Pochettino, but I have my concerns about Pochettino because he doesn't play with natural wingers. But then again, Ollie didn't at the weekend and I bloody hated that as well. So that's my concern about Pochettino, is that the style of football, look, every team needs to evolve. You've got to evolve. But I also think you've got to have a DNA. DNA, it's in my DNA. Who sang that? Bloody Little Mix. What am I singing that for? I don't know. Anyway, but I do think United and wingers is massively important. And I would wonder whether Pochettino would do that. So that's a concern for me. But my eyes are wide open. If Ollie gets the sack, then we've got to look at what the best is available. And Pochettino may well be the best available for the job. So I would probably lean towards Pochettino. You could say many other managers, Ten Hag at Ajax, although recently the results haven't been that good, which shouldn't really be a factor, but they will be. Nagelsmann looks very good at Leipzig, and there are other managers as well. I mean, to be honest with you, I think the Southampton manager's done very well. I don't think we would look at him, but I think he has done very well with the resources down there. He's clearly a very good coach, and I like the way that Southampton play. They do use wingers. And they do press high up the pitch. And I think that if I was a chief executive of Manchester United, I would be looking at the Southampton manager, who I'm calling the Southampton manager because I can't pronounce his name, for Toffee. But the Southampton manager is what I would be looking for. And Nagelsmann sort of fits into that as well, because I want to look at them. I would take the manager who's going to be the next big thing. I think taking somebody else's big thing, whether it's Mourinho, Van Gaal, or even Pochettino, who, to be fair, was Spurs' find from Southampton, I would like to take a manager a bit like a Bruno, a bit like Manchester United's philosophy is meant to be. Let's get Wan-Bissaka from Crystal Palace because it's a step up and he's got talent. Let's get Maguire from Leicester. It's a step up and he's got talent. Let's get Bruno from Sporting Lisbon. It's a step up and he's got talent. Let's get Jadon Sancho. And it is a step up from Dortmund to United. I don't care what anyone says. So let's get a manager who's at a club that's not as big as United, who's doing very, very well, and give him that opportunity. And that's why, to me, the Southampton manager would be very good. But we won't do that because Woodward likes big, shiny things, doesn't he? How would Jaden... I've done that one. Top five United legends, says Farhad Alderwood. I'm not going to answer it, Farhad, but I have given you the shouter out because it's just not something I want to get into on the podcast and it would take me too long, to be honest with you. Southpaw of Sports. I want to play a little devil's advocate here. You have, I think, fairly been very critical of the short-sightedness of the club this season, constantly wondering where is the future. Yet for the past few weeks, you've been preaching, let's wait and see until May. Why is that different? Good question and easy to answer. I question Manchester United's future vision because I think it's muddier than a dirty puddle. I really do. A muddy, dirty puddle. But my short-term let's wait to see what happens on May is 100% based on this. I don't want Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to be sacked tomorrow, today or next week because we'll put an interim manager in. And if that interim manager is Carrick or Butt or whoever and they go and win a load of games, which has happened before, so why wouldn't it happen again? The club very well may just give that person the job and we're in the same situation. So May to me is, look, if we're going to lose a load of games, keep Ollie till May. If we're going to get top four, maybe keep him beyond that. So May to me is because whoever the next manager is going to be, they're not going to come into the job in March. So we may as well keep Ollie till then. That's my mentality on that. But as for the long-term vision, do I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the right man for Manchester United? No, I don't. I'm here to be proven wrong, like many fans, but I can't see enough evidence that he's the right person. But May, for me, is more about getting the season done, and then if we need to make a change, it's the right time to do it. I don't think now is the right time. Eduardo Vasquez says, if Pogba stays for next season, do you believe it will negatively impact on the group of the players we have now? Look, there's a lot. Manchester United leak like a sieve. Like, you pour water in it, and it leaks everywhere. There's always rumours coming out of Manchester United. Some are true, some are not. The rumours around Manchester United at the moment revolve around four or five things. Jack Grealish coming to Manchester United. Sancho's coming to Manchester United. Pochettino is coming to United if Ollie doesn't get top four. Pogba. Now, Pogba is always a big rumour around United. Pogba is disruptive in the dressing room, has been going around for ages. It's why the press talk about it. It's why it gets talked about by some fans. There has to be an element of truth in this. There has to be, because so many different people are talking about Pogba being disruptive at United. But I don't think the disruption is he walks in going, hello, everybody, I'm Paul Pogba and I'm the boss. Sit in the corner and listen to me play my music. That's what people want to hear, but that's not the case. I think what it is that Pogba is a superstar. And I think when you've got a superstar like Alexis Sanchez, who's on 400 grand a week, and they're not performing or they're not playing, but they're still the superstar, it irritates people. If you imagine your workplace, whatever it is, and you're a worker and you care about your job, but the person who gets paid the most money and the person who gets the most praise or attention is somebody who, yeah, on their day, they're amazing at what they do, but they don't do it very often. They're not there. They're off doing other things. You know, they can't be asked to turn in for work. It's just human nature. And I think Pogba, whether it's players, whether it's coaching staff, whatever, I think he does, and especially as because he's got an agent who's forever slagging the club off, I think Pogba is a disruption around the dressing room for those reasons. But I think when people see, oh, Pogba's a disruption in the dressing room, they think he's going in the dressing room, you know, graffitiing the wall and, you know, playing loud music over an Ollie team talk. It's not that. I think it's what Pogba is, but what he delivers for United, and I think it creates a bad atmosphere a bit. But do I think Pogba will stay at Manchester United? No. I think he's going to go. But I know for a fact that the club want him to stay, so it's not definite. Sean Miller, do you think that a couple of signings would be enough to ensure that Bruno doesn't fall victim to the lack of support around him? Well, look, for me, Sean, I can say to you straight away, if Pogba leaves, you've got to surround Bruno with some talent, because otherwise we become a one-man team again. And we've already seen that we don't necessarily win every game with Bruno. He played on Sunday against Everton and we didn't win. We nearly lost. So he's not unbeatable. The United with Bruno in it is not unbeatable. United without Bruno in it is not a very good side. United with Bruno in it is a much better team, but it's not unbeatable. So you've got to add to that. And I think Jadon Sancho, a Jack Grealish, those couple of players with Bruno will make us better. Crunch time. What a name. What is the latest with Angel Gomez? It's such a shame that he can't even make the bench and it makes no sense. Angel Gomez contract last Saturday night I was doing a show and people were like, Angel Gomez has signed a new contract. When you check it out, which is what I have to do on a lot of things, because we have made mistakes and we will make mistakes in the future, the football world is not as easy as just going live and doing a podcast and talking. You have to research things, you have to garner relationships, you have to speak to people that don't want to reveal who they are, and you've got people who you know aren't that reliable but sometimes are. The Gomez thing was just a load of crap. I mean, it really was. It came out from an account that's an in-the-know account on Twitter, which you've always got to be very careful of, copying another in-the-know account. And I just think, to be honest with you, any account that's called Man United Source or Man United in the Know, I'm sorry, why do you have to call yourself that? Like, you could actually use an alias or whatever and be more real than Man United in the Know account. And this is where, I don't know what the name was, but Gomez is going to sign a new contract next week. And I was like, well, look, maybe it's going to be true. Never be as arrogant that it's not going to be true. But look, I made a couple of calls. I spoke to a couple of people and they were like, I've not heard of this. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I've not heard this at all. The situation with Angel Gomez, many people know this, but it's the most concrete source I can give you. Angel Gomez is not happy at Manchester United. He's not happy at the lack of first team opportunity, and he's not happy at the contract that's on the table. Angel Gomez can sign for Barcelona or Inter Milan or whoever now. He's out of contract. In the summer, he can sign for any English club as well. The contract on offer for Manchester United is not good enough, and he's not getting first team opportunity. I think Manchester United handled contract renewals badly, whether it's Herrera walking out the door for free, whether it's Sanchez getting 400 grand a week, whether it's De Gea and Martial going into the last year of their contracts. United do badly, and Gomez walking out the door for nothing is a disgrace, because this is a player that could be fantastic. Also, Solskjaer not picking him is a disgrace, because Lingard has had so many chances. Pereira has had so many chances. Angel Gomez has not had any chances. And my feeling is, look, all right, he might be a contract rebel, if you want to call him that. He might be justified, he might not. But surely you play him, and you play him. And then if you play him and he doesn't do well, he might think, you know what, I'm not quite ready yet, I will take that contract. Or you play him, he's brilliant, and you go, he was worth what he wanted in the first place, let's sign him. To not play him is stubbornly stupid, and I don't get that from United. You've got Lingard and Pereira, who've been really bad. Why do you keep giving them the chance over Gomez, who, if you play him, you might have to give him the contract he wants because he's worth it? So the situation with Gomez is he's not happy, and I don't think he'll sign a new contract. Pranine, I hope he does, though. If United can buy either Haaland or Werner for whatever reason, which strikers do you think United should buy? I'd be very happy with Werner or Haaland, but to be honest with you, I think I would go Werner because of his fluidity across the front three. He can play a number of positions. Shetan Patel says, watching United play apart from Bruno, it's clear that they haven't been coached to move the ball around quickly and intelligently, like passing in triangles. Well, I've said this many a time, Shetan. You know, you watch Manchester United play and the coaching isn't good enough. It isn't good enough. And it's a real frustration, because we're Manchester United Football Club. We spend a lot of money on coaching. But you watch us play and you realise we don't do pass and move. We don't do the little triangles, which are basics. I don't know whether that's the players, I don't know whether that's the coach, and it's probably a combination of the two, but we're very, very bad in the final third. And there are teams better than us in the Championship, and I don't understand why that is. TimZ35 says, considering all incompetence with managing recruitment for the last 6 years, also considering Ornstein about United moving in the right direction with analytics and all this noise that this time we're going to do it right, can we hope for a decent summer transfer window? Tim, I really hope United are going to sort things out, but I will keep coming back to this. The same people who appointed Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho and Oli are still the same people in charge now. The same people who bought Di Maria, Schweinsteiger, Memphis Depay, all these bad deals we did are still in charge now. And it's a bit like getting a decorator round to paint your walls when he's messed up every other room in your house. Do you keep appointing that director when they say, it's all right, I've been down to the decorating school, I know what I'm doing now, this room's going to be great? Or do you get a new decorator in who's proven? And I think that perfectly and summarises the United situation. Oh, they're doing everything right now, this time we're going to get it right after 6 attempts at getting it wrong. They're the same people who've made the mistakes, so my confidence in them is quite rightly low. They might get it right this time, but ultimately, you've got to question why they're still in the bloody job in the first place. Pumpkin spice latte. Am I the only person thinking Ollie hasn't been all doom and gloom? Rashford and Martial improved significantly. We've established who isn't good enough, Lingard and Pereira. And we've bought and used talents like Fred with injuries playing hand in it. Yes, I feel that he has laid foundations. Always good to see a positive, mate. To me, worst ever Premier League season is about to happen. That's not good enough. Football, not good enough. But if he gets top four and he gets another year. I personally just don't think it's been good enough this season. I think if two other teams had done what they normally do, we'd be miles off top four and the Europa League would be our only chance and we'd know Ollie he's gone in the summer. He's only in a top four race because other teams have been as awful as us. And that's the only reason people are finding positives, because we are technically still in a... We're very much in a race for top four. We shouldn't be. 60 points will probably get you fourth place. That is 12 points less than the average. It's been a crap season for loads of teams, and that is why United are still relevant in the Premier League. And if he gets top four, he will stay. And I can't argue with it, even though it will probably be our worst points tally in the Premier League, because if you get Champions League football, should you get the sack? Probably not. But he's lucky he's a legend of the club as well, because if he wasn't, I think he would have been gone at Christmas. Gethin Hall, if we could only make one signing this summer, who would it be and why? If Pogba stays, Sancho. Easy as that. Rio Mia, we can't deny all the signings Holly has made this far have been positive, so do we keep him and hope for more positive signings? I think this is a bit of a myth, Rio. Obviously, respect where you're coming from and stand your ground on your opinion. Has Dan James been a successful signing? Had a good couple of months. We overplayed him. He's not been great for 4 months. Wan-Bissaka's been a great signing, but was it such a surprise that you spend £50 million on a Crystal Palace right-back who's been brilliant? It was an obvious signing. Harry Maguire, we spent £80 million on him. He should be a good signing, and he is. And again, it's another obvious signing. Bruno Fernandes is a brilliant signing that they should have done in the summer and they didn't want to do it. So there's a level of incompetence there. But very good signing, and was always going to be a good signing. And who else have we bought? Dan James Wan-Bissaka. Yeah, we've covered it. So I think there's an element of obviousness to the signings. I don't think... It's not like he's gone out there and bought... Oh my God, what a signing that is. No one knew anything about him. I think the signings have been somewhat obvious. If United lose to City on Sunday, do you think we should forget about top four and the FA Cup and just go all in for Europa League? We're already... Connor Head says that. We're already starting to pick up injuries, Connor, and this is worrying me. Niggles to people like Martial and Wan-Bissaka and Dan James. We're going to pick up more niggles. And the more games you play, the less time there is for those niggles to recover. And the more games are being played while they're out. So if Dan James could be out for a week and miss three games, because we're playing three games in a week. So at some point, we will have to prioritise Europa League or Premier League. At the moment, I think the Europa League is probably the better way, because we don't know what points we're going to get out of Man City and Spurs. If we take 6 points from Man City and Spurs, I think the Premier League top four becomes the better way. And if at any point the Premier League becomes the better way, we should prioritise the Premier League, because cup football can go against you in the final. You never know. But I don't think we've got the squad to do both. And I think at some point we will hit a tipping point with that. Should we start looking for players in other countries like South America, says GT Quetzal? Good coaching, good recruitment will allow you to do that. I've got no problem with it. I'd love to sign Mexican players, South American players, you know, wherever. If they're good enough, they're good enough. Is Fred performing amazingly this season, or is he just standing out in a poor United squad, says Ewan McGyver? I think that's a great point. I mean, I always say this. Just because a player's playing well in this United side, does it mean that they're a Premier League winner, potentially? And I think with Fred, he's a standout player in this team at the moment. Is he a standout player in a Premier League winning side? We don't know, because we're so far away from that. I think you've just got to live in the now, to be honest, Ewan. Is he one of our best players at the moment? Yes, he is. Is he somebody we need to think about replacing? No. We've got to get players good enough around him first enough. And then when we are challenging for a title, we'll find out whether he's good enough. Uz C says, any plans having a meetup in Glasgow? I'd like to, mate, but these meetups could all get cancelled very quickly. Do you genuinely think we have progressed in the last year, says Josh Barton? No, is my straight answer. I don't think there's any progression with United over the last year. I think the progression was the first 3 months, and that's what got him the job. And I think we've regressed since then in the way that we play football, in the mentality and the excitement levels. But I think the season's been so bad for so many people, we could have a really good season. And maybe that'll next season we'll see a more attacking United. But all I want to see is a better style of football that I can get behind. And at the moment, I just think it's all over the place. Danish Iqbal, how much do you think today De Gea is worth? I think De Gea is probably worth about 60 million at the moment. There's been times when he's worth 180, but at the moment he's probably worth about 60. Should James Garner play more, says LPXR? Yes, yes, and yes. Definitely yes. Definitely yes. I'd like to see him play against Derby. I don't see any reason why not. If Chelsea are playing Gilmore against Liverpool in the FA Cup, and Liverpool are playing people like Jones and Williams against Chelsea away in the FA Cup, we should be playing Garner, but we should also be playing Gomez. Thanks everybody for listening. Exclusive content on the podcast. We answer your questions. We go through stuff we won't talk about on YouTube. Remember the United Stand on YouTube. Every night live at 8 o'clock, all the watch-alongs. You can check us out on there if you've never heard of us. On here, keep listening every week. Goes out Wednesday around midday at the moment. And if you want to win a prize exclusively on the podcast, all you've got to do is leave us a review. iTunes lets you leave review. Leave a review. Tell us what you like about the show. 5-star. And also get, at the end of it, just leave us your @ for Instagram or Twitter, and we'll message you if you're the winner, and send you out some United Stand merchandise. Thanks everyone for listening. And also, if you want to leave questions, we read every single one out today. You've got to be a member on the United Stand YouTube channel, which you can do by going over there, clicking the join button, go to the community tab, and you'll see member posts for only members where you can leave your questions. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will speak to you next week. Don't forget to leave your reviews.